This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila. And now we're moving on to a story about government websites. So a report has shown that 90 government websites are still not secure. And this is 5 months after an audit announcement that revealed these sorts of holes in the security. So we look into what this means and the risks that this involves. So late July last year, Malaysia Kini published a special report that showed at least 175 out of nearly 700 government websites weren't secure. And experts warned that this could lead to things like personal data breaches as well as other cybersecurity risks. So following this, the Malaysian Communication and Multimedia Commission, MCMC, stated that a cybersecurity audit would be conducted on those websites. So it's been 5 months, and Malaysia Kini has revisited those websites yesterday, and they found that the security status of 90 websites remain unchanged. So just to be clear, from 175 initially, we still have 90 websites that haven't upped their cybersecurity. And those websites really run the gamut of services that you might seek from the government, right? It includes the Enforcement Agency Integrity Commission, or EAIC, the Public Complaints Bureau of the Prime Minister's Office, Istana Budaya, Hospital Kuala Lumpur, as well as websites of local councils of various states. 8 of those websites, including the Kedah State Government Portal and the Shalom City Council, still contain malicious elements, phishing, as well as spam attacks. This is based on an analysis result on VirusTotal, which is an online tool for malware detection. I think it's worth pointing out that the fact that these are official government websites is important, right? Because if you think about when you might feel the need to go to one of these websites, it's usually because you're after either information or services that you couldn't find elsewhere, or for official reasons, or for things that might require you to share personal data or information that is private, or that could be put to other use that isn't necessarily good for you. And so I think it is quite concerning when we hear things like this. It's concerning for me as a user. I can't claim to know a lot about what cybersecurity entails, but I do think that I want to feel assured that when I'm seeking out government services online, that I can at least expect a bare minimum of quality. And so that's what we're going to be looking at. We will be joined shortly by CF Fong, who is CEO and CEO of LGMS. He's a cybersecurity consultant. But we'd like to hear from you. How often do you visit government websites, and do you find them secure enough? You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, on the line with us is CF Fong, CEO and cybersecurity consultant at LGMS. CF, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks, Sharmila. Good to be here.
So we've asked you this before, but just give us a refresher. How can we tell in general if a website that we're on is secure and legitimate?
Okay, from a very surface perspective, right? If you go to any website, if you do not see a HTTPS or little small lock on the URL, right? It basically tells you that the communication between your computers or your phone to this website is unencrypted. However, this is a bit too rudimentary to decide whether the website is secure or not. But anyway, this is the most fundamental way we should check. So back to the issue that what you have mentioned just now for the Malaysia Kini report, right? So as far as I understand that what has been determined unsecure is merely looking at the surface. Basically, the report merely targeting at the website, whether the website are using HTTPS, using encryption. Now, the truth of the fact is that as a consultant, right, my concern is that the real security behind it could be far more concerning, because we are just looking at HTTPS. We haven't even talked about the logics and the application built behind the scene. And just like, I would like to use an analogy, right? We have about 170 cars here, right? And then I'm telling you that 90 of the out of 175 cars do not have windscreens and all the glasses are broken. Now, with this number in mind, right, how can we know that the remaining of the number of cars, right, they are safe to drive? How? What about their brake systems, their locking mechanism, and all these other things? And for those cars that without any windscreens, the 90 cars without windscreen, how about their, you know, their safety, you know, their braking systems, their acceleration, and all that? So, what we are knowing from the Malaysia Kini report is actually a bare minimum at the surface. I'm quite concerned the reality behind it. as well.
So when it does come to a cybersecurity audit, what usually happens? What would the auditors be looking for?
Well, for a full audit on a website or on a server, right, we would expect the government would perform professional penetration testing. A penetration testing is like a simulation of a hacker's attack in a good way to find out what are the vulnerabilities, what are the weaknesses of the website or the servers. And then with all these weaknesses and server being exposed, and that's how the officials can carry out the remediation, the fixing. And this process we have to do this kind of process in a regular manner to ensure that we are able to keep up with the number of loopholes out there and to be able to fend off any cyber attacks to our infrastructure.
And what impact does all of this have on the people who are visiting and using those websites? What does it mean when these websites are not secure?
Now, just imagine that some of these websites, they are also holding our personal data, right? And we are submitting our personal details to this website. And if the website did not have a proper security mechanism, hackers could have been hijacking the data, or even worse, hackers may have already living in the servers or within the infrastructure and even capture and modify the data that we are submitting to these websites. And the fact is that in our practice, right, we have been witnessing many cyber intrusions where hackers nowadays do not modify and deface websites anymore. Meaning that if we have a weak website, right, hackers may not be necessarily defacing a website, but instead the hackers will stay within the web server or even going hiding deeper within the infrastructure and do further damages. And this is a fact what we are seeing today, and this is quite concerning.
Do you think that most users would have certain expectations of security when they're using a government website?
Oh, absolutely. As a user, I would expect the government to take more proactive stance in increasing the security of at least a government website, whether or not they're taking personal data or not. But at least from our national security perspective, right, all government websites shall be made to be secure, at least.
So on that note, then, I was curious about what we know in terms of how the government might operate or what they might put in place when it comes to their websites.
You see, I think Malaysian government is no exception with any other governments out there in the world, right? We are in a constant cat and mouse chase to keep ourselves abreast about all the cyber attacks. I think Malaysian government, we need to be more aggressive in terms of our cyber defense and invest more time and resources into protecting our national infrastructure. Now, from what we have observed so far at this stage, like even the bare minimum fundamental elements are missing, like HTTPS are missing. I'm kind of concerned about what other things are missing as well. So, that's my view.
So what kind of actions need to be taken then to make these websites secure? What usually happens?
Yeah, I would suggest the government to go through a professional vulnerability assessment and penetration testing, go through what the regulators are doing, like the banks and telcos are doing, go through a professional penetration testing, identify all of the weaknesses and loopholes, and form up an execution plan to implement fixes, implement defenses on the websites, the government-related infrastructures. So this has to be done we have to institutionalize the entire process to make it a practice, to make it part of the government policy to ensure that we have a constant assessment and constant implementation of security defense.
And is it possible actually for the government to attain 100% security across their websites? How often would audits need to happen to ensure this?
Well, truth to be told, there's nothing as 100% secure, right? But at least we can increase our security level. Like I said before, I mean, we need to establish processes, formal processes in place. And the government need to look at how the private sectors or even some of the regulated industry in the country, how they manage their security. I think the government has been trying very hard in multiple ways to increase the security. But then again, we need to keep up in terms of pace of the cyber attackers. Attackers today, they work 24/7, 7 days a week. They don't take holiday breaks, right? So this is the fact that we need to realize, and that's why we need to be aggressive.
Are there specific challenges that a government website might face in terms of establishing security, in terms of putting those things in place that perhaps corporates and other organizations might not?
Well, I think government, we have... I think we are also facing a constant problem. I mean, the government and the private sectors are facing one common problem, which is the resources, the talents in terms of cybersecurity expertise. And this has been a constant problem, not just the private sectors are facing, but the public sectors also facing. It's just that the private sector may have more time and resources and may have more concentration to invest into protecting the cybersecurity infrastructure. Whereas for the government, I think we have been quite slow in terms of catching up. So the scarcity of talents are one of the primary reasons, I would say.
Meanwhile, as users, what can we do to protect ourselves if we have no choice but to use these websites?
Yeah, as a user, right, we will need to pay attention to any website that we're visiting, especially to websites that do not have HTTPS. That's number one. That's number two is, as a user, whenever we go online, we have to make sure that we're using a secure connection. If whenever it's possible, do not use public Wi-Fi for anything that consider sensitive. Like if you're doing your e-banking services, right, do not do it over public Wi-Fi. Use your data line, stick to your data line. And as an end user, we also do not download anything that comes from non-official sources. Now, recently, we also have been discovering quite a number of campaigns, scamming campaigns going on. So hopefully one day we can talk about that. So even for government websites, right, if a website that seems to be legit, seems to be like government website, but prompts you to download something to install, we just have to stay alert and be precautious.
And if you could give us a little bit of a checklist in terms of how to tell if we go to a site and something's off, what are some of the easy, you know, things we can look out for?
Well, if you go to a website, number one, if it doesn't have HTTPS, that's red flag number one already. The second thing is if the website prompts you to download something before it allows you to proceed, that's red flag number two. And number three is if the website has, again, this is quite generic, I would say, if the website has a lot of text that's out of context, or maybe there's a lot of grammar, spelling mistakes on the website that doesn't look genuine, then probably that would consider red flag number two. But more importantly is that the way how we get online is that if we are using the internet through an insecure manner, and we just have to make sure that we don't send sensitive information over the insecure channels.
CF, thanks for speaking with us today.
You're most welcome, Jamila. Thanks.
That was CF Fong, CEO and cybersecurity consultant at LGMS, weighing in on this report that 90 government websites still aren't secure. And we'd like to hear from you. How often do you visit government websites? Do you find them secure enough? You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We do have this from Ahmad, who says, with the cheap cost, lame design, everyone knows that this statistic is not shocking news, especially when your top management is old school and still think that manual operations are effective. It's 2021, and some are still using Excel sheets as a system, and we're going to Web 3.0. As a user, if the government still practices the same, we're going to fall even more behind. And, you know, Ahmad, I agree. I think that a website in many ways is one of the first things you might see of a government structure or, you know, services that you want to access, and how well it operates for you, how well that service provides, the security is an indication of how forward-thinking the management might be and how ready they are to operate in this current modern space. And I do think that when you go to a website that, as you said, is designed poorly, still uses outmoded software or expects you to engage with them in that way, it does say a lot in terms of how they, what their planning is, what their process is. Do keep those thoughts coming. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. You've been listening to The Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.